Well, Leith Anderson joins us today. He's the current president of the National Association of Evangelicals since 2006 and was also senior pastor of Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie for 35 years. Of course, we have him on Wednesdays. Leith, welcome back to the program.
Great to be with you, Joe.
Well, we've been talking quite a bit about prayer as we've headed into these last several weeks, and several ministries are calling for the International Day of Prayer for the Unreached that takes place on Sunday, June 4th. And in addition, the National Association of Evangelicals is sponsoring Pray Together Sunday on July 9th. Talk about the importance of both of these two prayer initiatives and the value of corporate prayer in general.
Prayer is always good, and more prayer is always better, but it does seem that 2017 is a year with a lot to pray about. And we often think of prayer as primarily private, but if you look at the Bible, most of the prayers in the Bible were public, and I know this may sound a little bit silly, but even the ones that were private became public, or we wouldn't know anything about them. Anyway, multiple calls for Christians and churches to pray. They're increasing. So you mentioned two. On June 4 is the International Day of Prayer for the Unreached, and that is totally consistent with the gospel of Jesus and what it means to be an evangelical Christian. We believe that those who trust in Jesus have this life transformed and eternal life guaranteed, and that we're called to share the good news with those who don't know and have never had the opportunity to believe in Jesus. And by far, there are more Christians today than there ever been. The church is rapidly growing. But still, most of the people in the world have never believed. And at least the stats that I'm reading is it's sort of inching up. Some say about 27% of the people in the world have no way that they can get the gospel of Jesus Christ. So praying together on one Sunday, June 4, gets us asking and believing and acting to reach the unreached. And the other is July 9, which is Pray Together Sunday. That's an annual call for churches to set aside some time in their weekend services to pray for our country, to pray for renewal, to pray for the world. It's not political. It's spiritual. And last year was the first year that the National Association of Evangelicals sponsored this. The response was just really good. And if listeners or churches want the information, it's available. Free downloads of bulletin inserts, opportunities for churches to sign up. It's all available at, this is a commercial, NAE.net. So check out NAE.net and find out more about Pray Together Sunday.
That's good. We can get behind that one. We endorse it 100%. Leith, Ted here, thanks. It just occurs to me, too, that we think of the unreached as being people in faraway countries, which certainly they are. But it could be the person you're standing in line with at the grocery store, too. I mean, with such an eclectic kind of a culture that we live in now and an environment, we need to be ready, as Paul says, to give an answer for that, which we believe. What's your experience with that, and how can you encourage us to maybe be ready to give that answer?
Well, we always need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us. We used to pray for all those people all over the world that we had to send missionaries to, but we live at a time when people from all over the world are coming into our neighborhood. And while that worries some people, it's an opportunity for the gospel. There's an article in the current issue of Christianity Today that talks about the significant growth of churches in Europe, and we don't often think about that. And they're coming through refugees and immigrants into Europe. So there's an opportunity for us to spread the gospel overseas, and there's a huge opportunity for us to spread the gospel close to home. And we ought to be ready, starting with a conversation with whoever God brings into our lives.
Well, speaking of prayer, our president, our vice president, they certainly need our prayers, whether they've been enduring some persecution of some sorts by people in our own country or whether they've brought a little bit on themselves, as in case of President Trump. What would be some great ways and some specific ways that we could pray for our administration in this time?
Joe, you're right that we should be praying, and that's what the Bible calls us to do. But also, we know that our nation is deeply divided along political lines and that the president is often the center point of controversy. But we also, if I can just sort of diverge here for a moment, we need to remember that the Bible doesn't just call us to pray for the president, but for leaders and for those in authority. So that includes members of Congress and judges and officers of the courts and state and local government officials and employees and law enforcement, military leaders. It's a long list. And, okay, I'll admit I'm not totally consistent on this. I do go through these chapters of my life praying very specifically for those leaders by name, and then along comes the next year after elections, and I don't always remember who's leading what. So one good approach, I think, for me at least, is not to worry about praying for them all, but rather make a short list, maybe mayor, city council members, or my or your members of Congress, or the governor, the vice president, I don't know, maybe six people, six leaders, and pray for them regularly, and then encourage others to pray for the rest. And what to pray? Well, I pray that they'll be wise, because I think wisdom is better than political platforms, and pray that they'll please God, that they'll bless the people, pray for our leaders to be safe in the midst of threats, pray for grace for their families. It's tough on families when a member of the family is a political leader. And then to ask God to encourage humility in attitudes and prudence in speech and compassion for the poor and vulnerable. In other words, to pray that our leaders will be the agents of God in our generation and in our country.
Good words there. Leif, you know, speaking of politics here, I think about how most recently Vice President Mike Pence was giving the commencement address at Notre Dame, and a lot of people stood up and walked out in protest. It seems like these events, these commencement speeches, are being used more and more as a political opportunity. Do you think that's true?
Well, 100 people walked out at the Notre Dame commencement. Most of them stayed. And Ted, I think you're trying to scare me because I'm a speech next week.
Uh-oh.
And you're worrying me now. Is there going to be a demonstration or a protest? I don't think so. But it reflects what's happening in terms of communication, that people are more aware of what's going on through social media and news, the internet, and everything else, and that there's a high desire for people to express what are their beliefs. What we need as Christians to do is say, what are the appropriate ways to do this? And for some, it's write a letter. For others, it's call into politicians. It's to be active in politics. But it's always to be Christian. In other words, it's asking the simple old question of how would Jesus deal with this? Would Jesus protest? Would he walk out? There may be occasions where that would happen. But always reflecting Jesus more than we're reflecting the issue or the person that we're agreeing with or disagreeing with.
Well, and Vice President Pence, even when the people from the Hamilton cast gave him a little lecture while he was there, he did turn to those around him and say, this is democracy at work. And that seemed kind of like what you're saying, is to not react in a way that would be negative, but to actually welcome and appreciate that people can use their free speech. It seems like the free speech is what's more being pounded on than utilized as we head into these protest seasons where people are saying that people can't speak. I mean, we do live in a democracy, and as Christians, we need to support that as well.
You're right that Vice President Pence really handled that situation in New York City very graciously and very well. And, you know, that's accolades to him. Yeah, free speech is really important. Unfortunately, with any freedoms, they can be inappropriately used. And I think that we need to protect our freedom of speech, our freedom of faith and religion, religious liberty. Those are amazing guarantees in our Constitution that most of history and most of the world know nothing about. But while we can be critical of other people abusing those rights, we have to be careful that we don't abuse them, that we use them appropriately for our country and especially for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
One more question. I'd love to switch gears just a little bit and talk a little bit about our responsibility to help the poor as Christ followers. And your leadership survey in April kind of affirmed that need to continue giving foreign aid. Say more about the moral responsibility to help the poor at any level, and even for churches and government to do the same.
Yeah, the National Association of Evangelicals conducts a monthly survey of evangelical leaders, and the most recent one asked if we should continue foreign aid for those in extreme poverty, and 95% of these evangelical leaders said yes. And I've got to tell you, I'm proud of all the good that our country has done through U.S. foreign aid. A little bit has gone a really long way. But it's interesting to note some of the misunderstandings. For example, when surveys are taken, and people ask how much of our federal budget goes to foreign aid, the most common answer is 25%. And then when people ask, well, how much should it be, the most common answer is 10%, which reflects a Christian concept of tithing. The actual percentage is around 1%, and if you take out the military aid, it's about 0.6%. So that means that 99% of our federal budget goes to those of us in America and less than 1% outside the country. And I put that together with the Old Testament principle that those who are blessed are to bless others. And I hope everybody knows that America has been blessed and that God expects us to bless others with the blessing that he's given to us. And you know, I've got to say, Joe, that I often kind of worry that if we don't share the blessings of God, we might lose the blessings of God. So that's, I think, why 95% of evangelical leaders say that we should continue or increase U.S. foreign aid to those who are extremely poor.
Mm. Well, Leith, we just so thank you for your thoughts and your wisdom to share with us today, this Wednesday. Leith Anderson, the current president of the National Association of Evangelicals. And Leith, can't wait to talk to you next time.
Great. Look forward to it. Blessings.
Blessings to you.